Blog Talk Radio.
It's the elephant in the room. Abortion affects millions of lives. And in Black America, it is a statistical fact that 20 million lives of Black children have been lost to abortion. I have to ask you this question. Do these Black lives matter? That's coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm so glad you're here with me today. We are starting a little bit later because we did have some technical difficulties, but I'm glad you're here to join us because we're talking about an extremely important topic. It's a topic that is very dear to my heart, and it's about saving our children. It's about providing services and care for our people who are in a crisis pregnancy. It's about giving people choices and making sure people have the correct information. And abortion in Black America, it's one of those topics that people shy around. They don't want to talk about it because by talking about it, you are going to have to make some decisions. And I hope this show is the show that does it for you. When I gave you the statistic that 20 million lives of Black children have been lost to abortion, what did that mean for you? 20 million lives. Let's think about that for a second. There are 300 million people or more in the U.S. of A. What percentage of the population is gone? These are the kind of questions you have to ask yourself. When it comes to protecting our children, why aren't we doing more? There are now laws that make infanticide the law. That means we are sacrificing our children on altars. This may be hard for me to say, but there's no other way to say it. We are sacrificing our children on altars. You may say, Parker, you're out of your mind. No, I don't believe so. It's a fact. You can abort your child for term. So what does that mean? That means that basically a child can be breathing and you can destroy that child and not have any effects happen to it. That is when infanticide is the law. As my good friend Dr. Spalding said, he said, we have to wake up. Infanticide is the law, and what are we as Christians going to do? For that matter, what are we as non-Christians who care about the sanctity of life, what are we going to do? And in Black America, when 20 million children are gone, what are we going to do? With me to help discuss this problem is my good friend Melissa Palou. I've known Melissa Palou for probably close to 10 years. We both met in the Christian Apologetics Alliance, and Melissa has proven to be a woman of God, first and foremost, a wonderful mother, wife, I already know, just based on what her husband says on his Facebook, and her daughter is absolutely adorbs, and she's just a wonderful woman who really tackles tough questions. She has her own podcast called Theology Talks with the Palous. She is also a pro-life activist who has been being pro-life activism, since 2006, from sidewalk counseling to organizing events to helping people make better decisions as they deal with a crisis pregnancy. There's so much to Melissa that I can't tell it all. So what I'm going to do is introduce her today. Melissa, how are you doing?
I'm very glad to be here with your audience and am very thankful for your friendship over the years, as well as very thankful that you are addressing this issue, as it is something that we candidly need and have to talk about. So I'm just very thankful to be here today.
And I'm glad you're here with me too, Melissa. One thing about this topic is that when I put it out there, I got a crickets type of response to it. And the reason why is that people do not want to talk about abortion in Black America. We'll talk about police brutality. We'll talk about reparation. We'll talk about the effects of slavery. We'll talk about a lot of things. When we talk about abortion in Black America, it's crickets. And that's why I wanted to stop being the one to add to those crickets. I wanted to at least use this show to educate people and let people know this is a problem. Like some people have said, it's the genocide of an entire ethnic group. And you have to look into that. Is this a genocide of an ethnic group? And if it is, what is the implications of what abortion is doing? Why would Planned Parenthood target minority communities, particularly the African American communities? Why would they make it easy for you to abort your child? You have to look at if there are genocide or another agenda going on, particularly in Black America. And now we know abortion affects not just Black America. We know it affects all various ethnic groups. But we want to focus on Black America because this is very important. If we are doing, if I can say it like this, Melissa, self-genocide. You know, it's like we're taking our own selves out the equation and no one is saying anything. And again, this is very harsh for me to say. But when the law passed in New York, I was literally sick to my stomach. I couldn't even get on Facebook that day because everyone was talking about it. Because I said, why won't we protect our children? Why do we go silent with our children? So that's why I want to talk about this, especially in Black America, where a lot of things are coming to light. African Americans are being put in new roles as far as like in entertainment, media. People are starting to hear different talks about Black characters, you know, just a lot of roles are starting to be made in a lot of different areas. As you know, Melissa, I'm the writer, so there are a lot being made in that area, you know. So I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that, you know, finally the inequities that has been hit by, particularly with Black authors, is now being brought to the light. So lots of things are being brought to the light. We're able to see, yes, there has always been a racial divide with African-American authors and other people of color and minority groups. We can now see it. It is right there in front of us. So I'm glad about that. I'm glad for the dialogue. But when it comes to abortion, we get silent. And I want to use this opportunity for us to not be silent anymore. So, Melissa, let's go ahead and tackle this topic. And I want to start with it by a question and comment we received from two different people.
Sure.
The first one, we received a comment from the first one. Jeff from Pittsburgh says this. He actually says, he said, make sure you highlight the racism, white supremacy of Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger. And then Meredith from Facebook says, ask why, regardless of race, the most quoted defense of pro-abortion advocates is rape or incest, when they are only 1.5% of all abortions. Is that 1.5% accurate in the Black abortion rate numbers too? So Meredith and Jeff, thank you for jumping off our conversation. Melissa, let's take it from there.
Goodness gracious, those two questions. My goodness. Okay, so repeat the first question because I want to break those two apart because they're very they're deep and complicated as it relates.
Jeff from Pittsburgh says. Jeff from Pittsburgh says, make sure you highlight the racism / white supremacy of Planned Parenthood's founder Margaret Sanger.
Wow. So Margaret Sanger is a very interesting character in history. And she's no longer alive to defend herself. So all that we have is her historical record of what she said, which is she has somehow befriended the Black community to enforce Black genocide in our community, but she did that on a regular basis to make it seem that to have Black babies is a bad thing. And I'll say that why, because that in that era, you know, in the we look at out of slavehood and out of the result of slavehood, and sometimes Black people didn't know their place in society. we still reproduce, right? And so there was this error, an issue of, okay, these black people are here, they're not slaves, but they're reproducing. So what do we do with these black children who are born? They're not slaves, but they are valuable human beings. And so this kind of precipitated a lot of the pro-abortion movement in that early 1900 period that Margaret Sanger came into. So we now know that all of us have a unique gift and ability to contribute to the world, right? So we all, I mean, me and Parker, you and me are an example. There are things that we as Black Americans can contribute to the world, and that was very lost early on, okay? But now we see this. But regardless, a human being is a human being, right? So we don't exterminate human beings, because human beings are worthy of respect, love, and dignity. And so we still feel like, regardless of one's outcome, that they still have the ability to produce, proceed, and that kind of thing. So, yes, I feel like the initial out of slavery movement was a very scary time for America, but we're all human beings, and at the end of the day, right? And we all connect on a human being level. So,
and that's a very good point. And I like the way you kept stressing that we're all human beings. This is particularly important, because there was one article I read very recently where the gentleman said, if you want to kill someone, you have to make sure that people do not acknowledge their humanity, or they say, well, they may look human, but they're not really human. And he brought to light the very ideology that Nazi Germany had at one point to what's going on here. And it's an article I read, and it's from desiringguy.org, and the name of the article is called Murder by Any Other Name. I'm just going to read a really quick excerpt, Melissa. It says here, the subhuman is a biological creature. And I'm sorry, let me back up. The German propaganda, and I cannot pronounce this in German, I don't know German, but whatever this is, basically the guy who wrote this propaganda was named Heinrich Himmler, and he said this: the subhuman is a biological creature crafted by nature, which has hands, legs, eyes, and mouth, even the semblance of a brain. Nevertheless, this terrible creature is only a partial human being. Although it has features similar to a human, the subhuman is lower on the spiritual and psychological scale than any animal. Not all of those who appear human are in fact so. Woe to him that forgets it. And it was through this type of ideology that millions of Jews and others were executed during Nazi Germany. And now,
absolutely,
in the American theater, it says here, we've moved from despising dark subhuman creatures that are brought into the cotton fields like slavery to despising creatures hidden in the dark whom God placed in the womb. They appear human, but the parent's desire for the child often determines whether it is, and so, a fact. So what starts to happen is that this child who looks human is only considered human if I deem it so. So that means that his humanity is subjective to our feelings. What would you say to that, Melissa? And please correct me where I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. And in the readings of your articles and all the concepts here. Humanity, we have to, as Christians, we have to step back and talk about this, you know? Humanity is all of us, right?
Yes.
It's from the whitest person in Norway, who is anti-God mm-hmm. and anti-Christian, to the person in the depths of Africa who is in tribes that is darker and is anti-Christ, but has adapted to their cultural tribalistic rituals, you know? So
mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
there's this gamut that we and many times we're at a disadvantage of seeing that there are these polar opposites, right? But
mm-hmm.
The message of the beautiful thing about Christianity is that Christ has a message that is far-reaching beyond any of us, right? He has this message
yeah.
that he came as God, and he came to earth, and he walked among us, and he experienced pain, but that he
mm-hmm.
remained sinless and redeemed us, died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead, and is willing and able to forgive any and all for their sins. There's no barriers. There's no ethnicity barriers. There's no financial barriers. There's nothing that will separate us from the love of Christ, and that he's willing to all to accept them into his kingdom. But you're right. There's this sometimes this thought that Christ's love is limited, and it's just not the case. That's when we're misrepresenting the gospel. And
mm-hmm.
many times when I'm on the campus and I'm talking to people about Jesus and the gospel, and they bring up objections, and many times the objections that they're bringing up is not
mm-hmm.
Actual representative of the actual Christian worldview. So we
yeah.
have to lay out those cases for what, you know, what it is, unfortunately. But in this, we think in this day and age we live in, that everyone understands and knows the gospel, and everyone does not, unfortunately.
That's very true, Melissa. When you were talking about that, I went to Galatians 3:28, and it says here, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free,
mm-hmm.
there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
what is so significant about this verse is that it hits various social economic groups here. Jew or Greek
mm-hmm.
is ethnicity. Bond or free is financial, if you will. Male or female is gender. He said it hits all these major parts of what we use to divide each other one from one. Even though I titled
mm-hmm.
the show Abortion in Black America, it's not because I think there is a Black America or a White America, even though there are times where these cultures are different and they deviate. You can also talk about Chinese America, Chinese American, or
right.
you know,
right.
whatever ethnic group you want to throw out there, you know. But we're talking about it particularly because the abortion rates in Black America are higher than any other ethnic group. And this is significant
right.
because if there is an agenda going on to get rid of African Americans, then we need to be aware of that agenda. Another thing I want to read really quickly excuse me,
mm-hmm.
I'll read really quickly, Melissa, is I found another mm-hmm. article as I was preparing for the show that says, let's talk about the Black abortion rate. And this was in the Wall Street Journal. It was last year sometime. And it says something very interesting here. It says, when the Supreme Court decided Roe versus Wade in 1973, polling showed that Blacks were less likely than whites to support abortion. 60s-era
mm-hmm.
civil rights activists like Fannie Lou Hamer and Whitney Young had denounced the procedure as a form of genocide. And then he says, Jesse Jackson called abortion murder and once told a Black newspaper in Chicago that we used to look for death from the man in the blue coat, and now it comes in a white coat. And then it goes on to say, in intervening decades, those views shifted. And then he said,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Jackson abandoned pro-life ship to run for president in 84, and stuff started to change. So when I go down now, it says here, social scientists aren't sure why Black attitudes toward abortions have changed. One theory is that more Blacks migrated out of the conservative Deep South and settled in other regions of the country with more liberal views on reproductive rights, and their attitudes changed accordingly. That could be one reason why
mm-hmm.
That may have been the reason why African Americans, who were initially, for the most part, against you know what I'm trying to say, against abortion, and now they're being for it
right.
again. What are your thoughts, Melissa, before we go ahead and take a break? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that, you know, particularly with Jesse Jackson and politics aside, he was he was not in favor of abortion. He thought that it harmed the African American community, and he made very specific statements about that. I think the quote that you brought forth was maybe from North Carolina A&T, which is the university here in Carolina that is a predominantly Black university. He was very anti-abortion in his early campaign years. Rightly so, because we're a minority. So as a minority, if you kill off your own spring, then you become more of a minority, right? And so, and not to get on him specifically, but the thing is that when we are looking at this issue, we have to look at it that it's the numbers are genocidal when we're looking at the Black community and how we cannot tolerate more Black deaths at the hands of our own people. And it's not the police, or it's not outside influences. We're looking at viable pregnancies within our own community that we are terminating, and that we're leading to the demise and numbers of our own flourishing in America.
And that's the problem right there. It does make me sad. That's why I said in New York when they passed that law, I just felt sick to my stomach. I started crying. I said, what is wrong with people? You kind of think everyone's in the uproar of a lion.
I'm looking at New York statistics. I mean, we're looking at 40% of all Black pregnancies in New York are ending in abortion. So why are we, as a people, why are we seeking to kill our own little unborn humans, which science has already showed us that they're human beings? Why are we seeking to kill our own little human beings when there's safety and there should be resources to help us to flourish?
Melissa, I did get a question from Sheila from Detroit. I'm going to actually read her question when we get back from our break. And for those of you listening in, we are talking about abortion in Black America. If you want to weigh in on the topic, you can call in at 929-477-1965. Again, 929-477-1965. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YattiCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YattiCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking about a very important topic about abortion in Black America. 20 million lives have been taken in the Black community by abortion. Before the break, Melissa read a statistic that in New York, 40% of Black pregnancies end in abortion. Is this a form of self-genocide? We get very upset when police attack our people, and we definitely should. If I'm going to use that word, our people, we definitely should be upset when you see police brutality, when you see blatant racism, when you see subtle racism, and when you see all kind of inequities that African Americans have dealt with for a long time, you get very upset about it. But why are we so silent when it comes to the destruction that we cause amongst ourselves? Why are we so quiet about it? Abortion in Black America is an important topic for you to think about. Where are you on this issue? Do these Black lives matter? Melissa, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show. You know, as I told you before, for the show, I told you I was so nervous about talking about it because I'm very passionate about it. But over time, you know, I won't lie. If I don't have to argue with people, I won't, you know. But at the same time, when this happened, the Lord really worked in me. He said, you know what, if you want to do this, you have to be able to stand up for it no matter what anyone says. Because I can be very lenient on a lot of things because not everything's not, you know, you don't have to argue about everything, you know what I mean? But when it came to this, I said, you know, I put my foot down and said, you know what, this is wrong. This is wrong. And what I wanted to do, but Sheila from Detroit, she makes an interesting comment that I would love to have you respond to. And the comment she said is this. She says, there has been much debate regarding pro-life/abortion in the Black family. We have over 75% increase of the number of children in foster care, and we have not been able to help these children, which I believe should be included in the group of pro-life. When I say pro-life, I mean children, because they have been the victims at the hands of their family, systems, laws, etc., and we do nothing. We pass a few laws, and with loopholes, when they become adults and do crimes, we say, what happened? We don't have preventative measures. We are not proactive until tragedy strikes. Sheila, thank you so much for that comment. What are your thoughts, Melissa?
I do. I feel for just Sheila and the population that she works with, and I am active in my community with young people from different demographics, you know, and so I feel the weight of that. I think that the answer ultimately is that we have to go back to the source. We can't just kill these kids, you know, like when they're in the womb. Killing them and taking their lives is not it should not be a humane option. Whatever they turn out to be, they may turn out to be an attorney and the president of the United States or what have you, or a street banger. We don't have, we should not have the ability as human beings to just snuff out their lives when they're in the womb. And so that is my general answer to the question. And then human beings are human beings, right, by nature. Regardless of what they do, how they perform, what they do in life, humans, that person that even commits a crime is just as human as a person that doesn't commit the crime and who does the right thing in life, right? So I have to, in my, even in my defense of my own family, where I want to be safe with my child and my husband, I have to still defend the right to lie to the person who is not going to be the most upstanding citizen, right? So that's number one. And then what can I do as a human being to pour into and to support the life of that person that is in that situation? Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing, too. And I think that's maybe a missing component that we need to tap into as well.
You make a good point there, Melissa, as you always do. And for those of you listening, we're talking about abortion in Black America. One thing that, and this is something that I've heard other people say. They say, well, is it better for you to abort the child or he goes into the system? And I knew one lady, she said she was adopted, and she said, I didn't have a good life. The woman that adopted her was a horrible person, and she used to threaten them and do all kind of things. She said, what was the point of being adopted if I'm going to be put into a life of harm, not have enough, to be poor, stuff like that. And so I think it's a valid point.
The person saying that it's better for me to be like dead than to be living in this particular situation, it's a philosophical issue that we don't know what it's like to not exist, right? So how does a person even make that distinction? Like, it's better to be dead than to live in these situations.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, her concern is valid. It's a valid concern, but you said it better than I could. We have no idea what it's like to be non-existent because I wouldn't know.
Exactly.
I exist, you know.
It's the basis that your life has no meaning, that your life and your background and your situation doesn't have any effect and cannot help the outside world in terms of your influence, where it's just the opposite. You know, your background and influence can actually help so many people, and it's not for nothing. If this world is based on a meaning and objective values, then there are things that you can, there are goods through that you can share with the world. And how you, not necessarily the outside world, but how you cope.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point, Melissa, that you said. Because like you said, we don't know what non-existent feels like because we haven't been there. It's not like we go, oh, I used to non-exist. You can't even say that because there's no basis of reality.
There's no reality to even compare that with. Like, just say, like,
yeah,
I wish I was never born. And, like, how do you – to make that statement is just very, like, self-defeating in many ways, you know?
Because your life is precious. You know, your life is worth living. Your life is worth it. The baby that you have in your womb, is give them the opportunity to experience life, whatever that may be, whatever that is. They have the right to that. And some people say, well, no, they don't, because I have to do this, do this, do this. It's very interesting how the Lord says children are a gift from God. They're a blessing. There's a reason for that. And I like to use myself in this regard, not because I'm such a great person, anything like that. Like my grandmother, I have with me twice weekends now. Like every 2 weeks I have her or something like that. Or I take her, you know, side, next week after that. She's almost, she'll be 89 this year. And, you know, all of us care for her in her old age. We all care for her. All her kids is always coming over the house, checking on her because no one her fault, nothing like that. And I was like, Mom, are you okay? Yes, my dear, and all that kind of stuff. Just surrounded by people who take care of you. Not that that's the, you don't want to say, well, I want kids so they take care of me in my old age. Not that. But it's the love that you passed down from my grandmother to my mother to me. And it is my honor to do that. And I'll never forget, and I think I told somebody recently, I'll never forget I was at the senior citizens place with my grandmother. And I was picking her up, and I saw this woman staring at my grandmother. And I promise you, the look of jealousy on that woman's face, she was an old woman. There was a huge look of jealousy on her face. And she said, my daughter and I do not talk. They're strange. And she had no one. She had no one. And I felt so horrible for her. You know, I felt horrible that you have no one. You know, and you wonder, I don't know what her problem with her daughter was or anything like that. I don't have a clue, okay? But the fact that children are a blessing from God, imagine having a companion in your old age. Imagine having someone who can help you while you're sick. You know, like when my mom got sick or your father gets sick, someone to pray for you, someone to, I mean, children are a blessing. I remember one young lady, she said, if it wasn't for my daughter, I would not be alive today. You know, I think about even your little one, your little bit, little muffin. Your muffin is so cute.
My little six-year-old is, she's all over the place, yes.
She is the cutest thing. And I remember the miracle of her birth and everything else that the Lord blessed you with. I remember, and because she put all on Facebook, guys, it's up to Melissa to tell the story she wants to, but she put all on Facebook when all this happened. We were all just in the high highs and the low lows of that whole situation. So many of us who were just praying for you during that time, Melissa. But children are a blessing. And to say that they're parasites. Now, here's something else. And this is something I want you to talk to, Melissa. I know I'm talking a lot. I don't want to over-talk you. I know I'm talking a lot. But one of the things that I've noticed is that, particularly in a lot of European countries, which is starting here too, the people who are in power don't have children. And this is significant because they're making policies that affect the masses and laws that affect the masses with no personal stake in the policies that they make. So if you have abortion in a community like Black America, and then you have policyholders and policy makers, I should say not holders, that's insurance, okay, policymakers that are making policy that affect your children and they don't have any of their own, why should you be as concerned about what they have to say when they have no personal stake in it?
Right.
What are your thoughts about that?
You know, and the answer is that these little human beings are part of the human race. And we can look at, there's so many things we can look at constitutionally and the right of life and all these sort of things. But for me, I prefer to look at the philosophical reality of who they are, you know. They're born of, to produce offspring, it requires two human parents to participate in an act that combines and it creates a human life, right? And so there's things as a human being, even in the womb, as a human being that we should grant and that we should abide by, and that as a humane society that we should recognize. There's major things. I mean, when you look at like Scott Flusendorf's kind of paradigm for the sled arguments, even that the size of the child, the level of development of the child, their environment, and their level of dependency, those things don't determine the overall humanity of the of that little person in your womb. And so as they're developing and as they're growing, as human is growing and developing, it should just not be an option to end their life short. Because their life has already started. I think that we think that out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. And when you take that to the logical conclusion, again, like you were saying, like, what about the old people in the facilities where no one cares about them? You know, there's people that are in facilities where no one is there for them. And there's some facilities where people are there for them. Out of sight, out of mind, just, you know, their function, they don't have a function in society, so just take off their oxygen and just let them die. It's the same with the unborn child who is part of the human race and has all the features of humanity, is born of two human offspring. Is it humane to just cut off their life? And I would say that it's not. Under any circumstance.
And that is what brings me to my next point. because when I was preparing for the show, I looked up a lot of media that was done for people who went trophy hunting. Like there was this one, it was, and I have to be honest, the picture was absolutely beautiful in a weird way. It really was. It was a woman who had shot a black giraffe. It was like a black giraffe. It was a beautiful, actually, I'm not, okay, it was pretty. Just go with me here. Okay, it was pretty. It was a pretty picture, and everyone was so upset because she shot this giraffe, and they called her a white savage going out there. She shot the giraffe. She was very proud of the kill, everything, and people were in an uproar. I mean an uproar about this, and people were calling her all kinds of names. They're saying they're coming over here, taking her out of wildlife, whatever. And then another one I saw was this 19-year-old disowned her mother and father because her mother and father shot a lion, and they were shown kissing next to the lion. All right. So people were in an uproar. Oh, you're horrible people, horrible people. I said, so you're in an uproar about an animal who cannot speak, who will probably eat you, especially the lion. They'll probably eat you before they save you. The giraffe who cannot speak. I don't even think giraffes make noises. But anyway, they can't speak, and you're upset about that. They can't talk, but we're upset about that. But then you say a child can't speak. A child can't take care of itself. A child is in your womb, depend on someone else completely, but their life is a choice. But if you go and shoot a lion or a giraffe, that's heinous. That's inhumane. And so you kind of got to ask yourself, what makes that animal more important in the womb than the child that's in your womb? Why do you feel that that animal is a choice, is should be protected because it's an animal, but the child that's in your womb or someone else's womb should not be? It should be up to the person who carries that child. What is the difference? And I really want us to think about this as we talk about abortion in Black America. And a lot of people, I know you're listening to me, who listen to me all the time, may be surprised at a lot of things I'm saying. But the reason why I'm saying is because we have to wake up. We're so numb that infanticide somehow became the law. Like Dr. Spaulding said, it somehow became the law. Like it's law now. And you're sitting there going, what? You know, like you're coming out this drug-induced high. You know, like what? But we're already sacrificing our children on altars. And that's why I'm glad, you know, as we get ready to close our show, that's why I'm so glad, Melissa, that you came with me today just to help talk about this. You know, you are on the pavement. You're on the street. I don't think you do as much as you used to, probably because, you know, everything is going on. I know you can't do it as you used to. But you talk about these things. You were doing sidewalk and helping mothers. And oh, real quickly, while I'm thinking about that, the question that Sheila asked was about providing resources to people who are in crisis pregnancy. Let's talk about that because some of them listen to our voice say, you know what, Parker, Melissa, that's all well and good. But go ahead.
Well, it's kind of the thing where we just sometimes our eyes are blinded to what's around us. So there are resources, and I can tell you this, and this is a very honest look at what I deal with as a ward member of a pregnancy resource center that can house and support women through their pregnancies who are homeless and this sort of thing. Sometimes the women who leave, they don't want to be helped. Okay. So that's something that we have to be aware of. That there are choices of the people in these situations, and it's not always we put the burden of blame, shame, and numbers on the people who actually really want to help, whereas we have empty beds of women who want to help that. Will not. They'd rather we can't allow abusive boyfriends in the home for instance. You know, there are things like that we can't allow. So we have to be mindful that it's not one sided in this discussion. At the same time, you know, when we have these objections, what can we do as individuals to help? You know, that's something that we need to ask for ourselves. If it's opening a home or mentoring or discipling girls who are in crisis situations, are we actually being a part of the solution, or are we just criticizing the people who are saying that they're trying to help, kind of thing? You know, at the same time, it in terms of Black America, we've got to look at the statistics, we're a minority, and many, mm-hmm. most of our minority women who are becoming pregnant are killing the offspring. So how does that
yeah.
flourish our society? It's not only not flourishing our society, but it is cutting off these specific gifts that these individuals have. Who are
mm-hmm.
creating individuals, who are human beings. We are cutting off their individualistic gifts of the world, and these sort of things as well. So as Black Americans, I'm just saying that we need to collectively, not just get mad about police shootings and these sort of things, but look at what look at the value of human life in our own communities. And from there, we can snuff out the abortion clinics. I mean, here in Charlotte, for instance, in the Charlotte area, and actually I'm going to be a part of a whole caravan that's going to be starting from Richmond, Virginia. It's going to go through Raleigh, North Carolina, and then to Charlotte, and then to Atlanta, and then to Birmingham. In all of these cities, we have these bigger historic Black churches and monuments and places of civil rights that have now become abortion havens in our communities and,
mm-hmm.
and mega abortion facilities by Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do? Do we just say, okay, this is our new reality, that abortion
mm-hmm.
is a part of Black society now, and it's basically a picture right beside Black civil rights. Here in Charlotte, the Cherry neighborhood, which is the oldest Black neighborhood, has the mega Planned Parenthood just opened their facility right there in the middle of the community. So do we say
wow.
that abortion is a part of our community's values that should be protected? And these are things that we have to ask ourselves. And so I can give you info, Parker, for the National Black Day of Mourning coming up on November the 21st.
Yes, please.
Well, we're saying
mm-hmm.
that, no, the 20 million lives, they're not in vain. And even women who have had abortions, Black women who are saying, my child's life is not in vain, and I will not advocate for the construction of continued mega Planned Parenthood facilities in the most oldest and historic Black neighborhoods in America, because it's becoming normalized. And so we have got to be a voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we've got to stand up and be a voice of reason and say, this is targeting, this is not helping our community, this is what you're doing in there by taking innocent children is not, I don't want to cry, but it's not okay. We can't sit by and say, just kill Black children. It's a part
mm-hmm.
of your agenda. And so I'm just very thankful for that whole movement right now, because we've got to say collectively that no. Mm-mm.
We have to take back our communities. We talk about that a lot, take back the community. We talk about injustice, and then we get so quiet when it comes to the little ones in our wombs. You know, I saw
yeah.
the cutest little baby. It was several years ago. I was at my church.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's five now. But several years ago,
mm-hmm.
Melissa, when I say the cutest little thing I've ever seen, okay, she was a little baby, dark chocolate with those big old cheeks. And I literally saw her, because, you know, our church is huge. And so I ran, and I was like, oh, my gosh, the baby, just like that. Just so I scared her, you know. I scared her. And so which is pretty funny. She was like, oh, gosh, this crazy
lady coming at me. And now she's five. But then when I started talking to her, I kind of calmed her down. She had a smile. She had this little toothless smile. And then I saw her recently in a picture that her grandparents showed, and there was the same little smile that she had when she was a baby. And I can't wait to see how she'll look 10 years from now and 20 years from now. What impact would she make? You know, that's what we're talking about. Here you got a company that's targeting.
A legacy. Yeah, and we have to.
Yes.
You know, you guys, you have to realize, I know it sounds, Planned Parenthood is very powerful. They have a lot of finances. They have a lot of political influences. But as people of color, we have got to, like, make a stand against the assimilation of our own people, because if we really believe that we're asset to the world and that we can make positive changes, and that we have gifts and talents that offer the world, we can't not advocate for our own murder of our own little people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not.
Like I said, our little people.
Mm-hmm.
Our little people, the ones who change the world one child at a time, you know. And the Bible says, it's interesting how the Lord told, when he made Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's what he said. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And Satan tells us, you know what, you have to get rid of your children because there's not enough X, Y, or Z. Or you can't afford whatever.
He makes it seem as though these little have a burden, you know, and they're not. They are, once has come to be through conception, at the point of conception, right? If there's no burden there, that person is meant to be, and whether it's through placing a child in another family through adoption, whether it's raising that family, whatever the circumstance, we are not in a position to ultimately determine what that little person's value is or should be, right? We have got to back off and trust God in that whole situation.
Yes. Yes. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Melissa, for being with us today. I want to thank you for helping me with this, you know, tackling this really, really important topic. And, you know, bless you, my sister. I know you're going through a lot, too, that we can't always get into, but I know you're going through a lot, but the Lord is just keeping you strong, you and Devin, keeping you both so strong and hold them up and keeping her strong too, you know. And for those of you, y'all don't follow Melissa online, but sometimes you go like, this can't be real. no one can go through this much and still have so much faith. And she's like, I got faith. Not saying that it's any hard. I ain't saying that. But
Devin Poole and our full-time tech directors at Rasher Christie, we just love prayer and support through everything that we can, you know. For the Thank you, Pastor, for having us on. We love you so much.
Thank you so much, Melissa. And for those of you who want to continue to follow Melissa, make sure you go to Radio Rachel Christie, and she is the co-director there as well. So just simply Google her name, Melissa Pelew, P-E-L-L-E-W, and you'll be connected with her. One thing I love about Melissa is her desire to protect our young and protect our children. And she's so well educated, and she's a wonderful apologist who not only talks about this intellectually, but she talks about it emotionally, spiritually, and philosophically. So she has this wonderful quad of attack for the word, a defense and strategy when talks about abortion. So it's not just one aspect of it, it's several aspects of it. So I hope that this show educated you. I hope that you learned something. I hope it stirred you. It is not my intention that anyone feels as if I'm condemning you or saying horrible things about you. That's not my intention. My intention is just to let you know that abortion in Black America is high, that our Black children are being targeted, and that there's something we can do, which means to stop the genocide of African Americans, and most important, stop the infanticide of our children, period. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.